Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. Hang on to your hat and enjoy the ride, because you're about to get some powerful insights and practical hacks that will take your daily life to the next level. And now, here are your hosts, Rick, Frank, and Peter.
Welcome back to the Road Ahead Cafe. I'm your host, Rick Gabrielli, and I'm here with change facilitator Frank Vandenhorst and the mindful pathfinder, Peter M. Fellows. And this week, we're revealing what's behind the words. Life's problems wouldn't be called hurdles if there weren't a way to get over them. Peter, can you give us an idea of what you're going to be sharing with us today?
Yeah. One reason I always enjoy being here with you and Frank is because I always learn something new from your segments. Now, my dear audience, I've got a foolproof way of making problems disappear. And that's what I'm going to share with you today. Don't blink or you might miss it. I'll be right back. Rick?
Wow. All right, Frank, how about you, buddy?
Oh, I have to shut up right now. Peter has the key to everything, dear audience. But, you know, I may add something like that to it.
Yes.
In order to jump over a hurdle, you have to run fast, looking at the Olympic Games athletes. Be slim, fit, and fast is their melody. In Book Talk 28, we talked about the book Illusions, an adventure of the reluctant messiah called by Richard Bach. I took a passage from the book. There is no such thing as a problem without a gift in your hands. You seek problems because you need their gifts. You seek problems because you need their gifts? What would that mean for you? Well, I'm going to discuss that later. Stay tuned.
Thank you, Frank. All right. So what I'll be sharing today is the origin of the hurdle from Old English, which is actually temporary fence. And it was actually created to pen livestock. And our hurdles are not just physical, but mental too. And that can be much worse. Peter, let's go a little bit deeper.
Yeah, okay. And I'm looking forward, Frank, to your review next week of the book Illusions. So what I'm going to share with you, my foolproof way of making problems disappear. Let's begin by looking at the quotation. Life's problems wouldn't be called hurdles if there weren't a way to get over them. It's not a great quotation, in my humble opinion. I mean, first of all, I don't recall anybody calling problems hurdles that I've ever met. I certainly don't call them hurdles, but you know what? Let's be fair. I'll put it to you, our audience. Would everybody in the audience raise your hand if you've ever called your problems hurdles? Well, I think that's pretty conclusive, Rick. I don't see a single hand raised. And by the way, if anyone in our audience actually did raise their hand thinking that I would be able to see it, well, that's a problem that's a little above my pay grade. Now, while I may have some reservations about the wording of this quotation, I do applaud the intent behind it. I remember once back in the day, a teacher of some renown said to his followers, if you change your language, you change your reality. And what he instructed them to do, his group, was to, whenever they were working together, drop the word problem from their vocabulary and use instead the word opportunity. So where they used to say, boy, this is going to be a problem, now they'd say, boy, this is going to be an opportunity. And this was supposed to make them feel differently about whatever situation they faced. The problem was it didn't work. When they'd get together to discuss a project and someone announced, we have a bit of an opportunity with this project, everybody immediately recognized that this was not really good news. This wasn't really an opportunity. It's a problem in disguise. And while I think the teacher went maybe too far in expecting people to see problems as opportunities simply by substituting that word, I also think there's merit in his idea. My own inner source of guidance, Pathfinder, once suggested to me that a problem is just a logistic that my brain, gatekeeper, doesn't think I can handle. And I agree. I agree with myself. My deeper self, my Pathfinder. Back in the fall of 2006, when I was taking my younger daughter, Natalie, back to college, we had to pack the car with all the stuff she needed in a dorm room. Everything was brought out of the house. It was placed on the driveway so she could, you know, check it over one last time, make sure she had everything. And her friend looked at the amount of stuff and looked at the car and said, "We have a problem. We're never going to fit all that in there." To me, it was just a question of logistics. How do we organize it so that everything fits? I didn't think it was something we wouldn't be able to do, something I couldn't handle. I thought it was just something that we needed to figure out. And it was. Now, you've probably had the same experience where one person in the group pronounces a situation a problem. Oh, no, it's going to be a problem. But another person, they don't see the problem at all. Same situation, same conditions, but two perspectives. Sometimes you don't see a problem because you already know how to get past that hurdle. Sometimes you don't see a problem because you don't know the solution, but you're confident that you'll get a solution. You'll figure it out. But for others, those problems can seem insurmountable. And seeing a problem as a hurdle, seeing it as a very high hurdle, can paralyze you and stop you in your tracks. Now, I never get frustrated. I never get anxious. And I never have a problem. Because when I have those feelings, I attribute them to my brain, who in mindful pathfinding is called gatekeeper. It's not me who's frustrated, anxious, who has a problem. It's gatekeeper. I'm just feeling the collateral damage. And he only has one problem because he thinks he has a problem. So I acknowledge his experience by saying something to myself like, "I get it. You're worried. I can see why." And then I relieve some of his anxiety by saying something like, "It's not your job to deal with this problem." And I give him a clear path to run on. I might say, "Your job is just to ask the Pathfinder's question and let Pathfinder, my better informed non-conscious mind, handle this." And this shifts my brain gatekeeper from fear to curiosity. And the moment he shifts his focus away from fear-based thoughts, that moment is leveled up. And in that moment, the problem disappears because gatekeeper has a clear path to run on. When you don't know what to do, you ask the Pathfinder's question. And that question is, "Where is my most fulfilling path forward here?" Then, having given the problem to Pathfinder, I just wait and watch with gatekeeper. Sometimes a solution comes, sometimes no solution comes, but the situation resolves itself. Either way, the problem disappears, the stress is gone. And each time I coach my brain, gatekeeper, to respond to a problem by asking the Pathfinder's question, my brain's neural pathways are getting rewired so that gradually, without any conscious guidance even, my gatekeeper automatically chooses this response to a perceived problem instead of freaking out. Want to hear how mindful pathfinding can level up any real life situation or problem you face? Check out the resources available for you at mindfulpathfinding.com. If you wish to know more about what this quotation means, then your wish is granted. Frank and Rick are about to enlighten you. Rick?
Wow, great stuff, Peter. Thank you so much. Frank, tell us about your take.
Peter said it all, so I will keep it short. Thanks. Life's problems wouldn't be called hurdles if there weren't a way to get over them. That's the statement. There's no such thing as a problem without a gift in your hands, is an auto maxim. To seek problems, you seek problems because you need their gifts. A problem sounds something like something heavy and difficult to cope with. We often rephrase it in such a way that we start to seeing it as a challenge. Oh, my life is full of challenges. How nice, is it? If you have a few dollars left in your bank account and a pile of bills on your desk, you might have a serious problem. Unless you see that you just won the lottery, got a unexpected raise salary, a new assignment from a client, or an inheritance from a faraway aunt who passed away and you were surprised. Is that a gift? Probably it is. At least it is a problem solver. True. But it is more a pain reliever. Having enough money to pay your bills is a relief. Most of our problems give us an uncomfortable feeling. They hurt in some way, and you want to get rid of that feeling, that situation as soon as possible. That's understandable. You might take an aspirin to get rid of your headache. You solve it, but you don't solve a habit that might cause it. In this respect, problems are signposts. A wake-up call to get your attention. Your body gives you a feedback on your behavior. For instance, deep down you know you shouldn't drink that much whiskeys. It's bad for your health, nothing new. Why do you do it? Our mindset, our perception of our life, our assumptions, judgments about ourselves and others make that we see a certain situation as a problem. We can deal with a problem, it becomes, we can deal with a situation, it really becomes a problem. So where are the gifts? In episode 21 about how to handle disappointment, I give you a few tips that can be applied in this case also. One, observe what's going on. What thoughts do you think are right now? Positive, negative ones, what do you feel? Sense it, feel it, explore it. Then adapt, assess the situation at hand. What can you do right now? Your mindful pathfinder kicks in. Improvise. What tools do I have to deal with the situation in a very practical way? And number four, overcome. Think forward, move forward. Act by using your gift discovered. But there is also another way. It's called the five whys technique, developed by Sakichi Toyoda, the founder of Toyota industry, developed in the 1930s. He is the founder of the famous Toyota cars. Toyota still uses it to solve problems today, and it's called the Toyota way, which combines continuous improvement and respect for people in a very effective and very efficient way. This practical philosophy has been copied by many industries all over the world, but you also can apply it in your life. Toyota's decision-making process is based on an in-depth understanding of what's actually happening rather than what someone thinks might be happening. The method is very simple. When a problem occurs, you drill down to its root. You drill it down to its root by asking you why five times. So you five times you ask yourself the question why. Then when the solution in the philosophy called a countermeasure becomes apparent, you follow it through and to prevent the issue from recurring again. And that's the gift. So you ask yourself in a situation, why is this happening? And then you ask it again. The best way to do that is to do it with a friend, because asking your questions on your own and asking and getting the answer and next question won't be that effective. And the only thing your friend has to do is when you give the answer, not comment on the answer, ask, why do you think it is like this and why, etc., until you have done it five times. And I'll guarantee you, after you've done it five times, you will find your gift. So you can combine the two approaches and play with it. It's very effective and it's very efficient to get over the perceived hurdles. Rick, what about you?
Wow. Thank you, Frank. You know, I love the way you reference some of the old corporate knowledge. You are a good man in that area. So first of all, everything is temporary. In fact, we are all temporary, and so are our challenges. Are we creating our own hurdles? Much like a track athlete, you need to practice getting over them. And then they get smaller. If any of you have been in any kind of sport, you know that the more you try and practice that sport, the better you get at it. So at first, if you can't catch a baseball, you figure it out, get hit in the head a couple times, the face, for those of us who've been baseball players. So be careful that you're not practicing enough to try to get over these obstacles. Historically, oddly enough, hurdles were frames or sleds used in England to drag traitors to execution. So potentially, there could be an actual programmed history in us about hurdles and what they actually meant back in the old days. So some of that ancestral trauma could still be with us. So there are three ways. There are three obstacles, which we're calling hurdles in this case. One, old programming. 2, fear. And 3, lack of community. So how do you overcome your hurdles? Practice gratitude. Be happy with what you have on the way to what you want. That helps you remove the old programming. Speak them out loud. Tell people what your problem or challenge or opportunity is. And my challenge is, when you say it, sometimes it just automatically sounds a little bit smaller. And then connect more with others and stay with us on the Road Ahead Cafe. This is a community, and this is a community of uplifting messages, great people. So bring friends and talk with them about this podcast. It's a great way to overcome your challenges. Peter, you want to give us some final thoughts?
Yeah, I think you're right on that about the community. I want to say I'm really looking forward to love this episode, love what we're doing. And I'm just so psyched about that little teaser Frank gave that episode 30, our book choice. And we're going to hear about illusions because it's one of my favorite books. But I'd like to just say that if you see a problem, then you're actually looking through gatekeeper's eyes, his limited vision. So coach him or her to compassionately look to Pathfinder for the answer he or she needs. Or join us each week here on the Road Ahead Cafe. And if you'd rather enjoy us live, then contact us for live events, virtual or in person, for you, your group, or your business. Rick?
Great stuff, Peter. Thank you. Frank, what are your final thoughts?
You seek problems because you need their gifts. If you tap into the flow of life, just be with it. Making nothing wrong. That's a tricky thing, making nothing wrong. The gifts are all around you. And to put it even stronger, you are a gift for everyone you meet.
Yeah.
You shine your light. And that's, I think, what Rick means with gratitude. Gratitude is the attitude. And Peter said, well, if you want to connect with us, please go to our website and leave a message or to our LinkedIn site. It would be wonderful. And as always, what we think about and think about, we bring about. Have a wonderful day and don't forget to subscribe.
Right.
Great stuff, Frank. So my final thoughts, simple. Gratitude mixed with some good old-fashioned connection will just make those hurdles fade away. Thank you for joining us today on the Road Ahead Cafe. Remember, if you like us, subscribe. If you love us, make a quick selfie video right now. Tell us why. Don't be shy. We look forward to getting together again soon next week. Until then, savor your day today.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Road Ahead Cafe. Hungry for more? Don't miss out. Follow this channel and be sure to subscribe to our email at theroadaheadcafe.com. Thank you for stopping by. See you next time.